Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Do you think this team is better today than it was at the end of last season?
100%. I think this team is better, but once again, we have to see when we go through the training camp, and in the preseason. I will say we have, going back to the coaches, I feel very good, very confident about the coaches that we have on this staff and their competency and understanding of the X's and O's, and we're all on the same page, so I feel good about it.
Jerod Mayo on this morning on the Greg Hill Show here on WEEI. Patriots are 100% better off. Something we'll be getting into here today on Jones and Mego with Arcan. Mayo Monday this morning. And we have Drake May scheduled to join us today on the program. Shooting for 4:30-ish. So keep your fingers crossed that he's very timely. And we'll talk to him then. Regardless, we'll be talking to him here today with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. We'll be asking him the same thing that Jerod Mayo was asked today. Yo, how are we feeling about the Patriots? How much better off are the Patriots now that Drake May is here and we know the full draft class? It's our big question of the day. Up now at Jones and Mego. Are the Patriots better off? Are they better than they were a year ago, Mego?
Yes. Look, I'm going to be optimistic, and I don't even think you need to be that optimistic to compare to what they added in the draft to who the offense was last year. This was a bottom three offense in terms of actually scoring on offense, in terms of actual touchdowns. They were just slightly above the Panthers and the Jets. This was a terrible offense. And if you just look at the quarterback position, even if Drake May doesn't touch the field, okay, Mac Jones plays 11 games last year, starts 11 games. Look back at Jacoby Brissett 2 years ago, 2022. He played 11 games, started 11 games that season, and his numbers were better than Mac Jones's. So even if Drake May doesn't hit the field, I think you got DeMario Douglas, is hopefully going to develop further, had a nice little spark in his rookie season. Hopefully you have Kendrick Bourne coming back from his injury and that he's going to be better and more like he was in his first year coming off of free agency when he was here, a couple years ago. I think all around, like, am I sad that Devontae Parker's gone? No. To me, it's mostly about this offense. The defense is kind of status quo. The big question mark to me is the offensive line and how much of a hindrance that's going to be to whoever is playing quarterback.
Well, so look, the defense should be just as good as it was a year ago. They extended Barmore today, by the way, to reportedly the second biggest contract in franchise history. I don't think that's right. I know Schefter's been running with that. I'm sure ownership wants that out there. I don't think that's right, but whatever. Christian Barmore, second biggest contract in franchise history. They extended him.
How you doing, man? You good? How you doing, man? You all right?
Oh, I thought the crafts were cheap. I'm sure we'll get a bunch of phone calls like that. They are. I knew they were going to try to cover up their non-spending in free agency with trumpeting this extension. I predicted it weeks ago. Here it is, but good for them. They retain people on defense. They should be better on defense, or at least the same. The offense has to be better if they play Drake May. I know you just said Jacoby Brissett, if he plays 11 games, his numbers are better than Mac. Fine, the numbers are the numbers. If Jacoby Brissett's playing a full year, they're no better off on offense. They're not. It's all about Drake May. If he plays, and he should be out there day one, and we talked about this last week, if he's out there, Hell yeah, they're better than they were a year ago. We can debate how much better or if it's anything meaningful. Like if they're just a 6-win team versus a 4-win team and they're drafting in the top 10, then really what's the difference at the end of the day? But I think they'll be more watchable. I think they'll be entertaining. And yeah, I think they're better than they were a year ago, assuming Drake May plays. And I assume he plays. So I agree with you, Mego. But I know not everyone feels that way. Arcand.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys can say that. I mean, I don't know how you can say that when we're dealing with a bunch of unproven rookies here who we don't know what they are yet. I don't know that this is going to be better. I don't think it's necessarily
we know what last year was going to be better.
Of course we know what last year's team was. Last year's team was terrible. But I don't think prior to the draft that they did really anything to get any better. So you're basically putting this all on these rookies, all on Drake May, all on Javon Baker, all on Jalen Polk and
this
the offensive
Antonio
lineman.
Gibson slander.
And Antonio Gibson and Austin Hooper. Sorry, I forgot about them. But also, new left tackle. That's the problem, is that you had holes in the roster that I would have liked to have seen them maybe address a little bit differently. I still don't really feel great about your left tackle situation. I don't think you have a number one wide receiver. You know, the tight end that you picked up at the end of the round, you know, in the sixth round, I don't know if he's going to play. You put so much on this draft. And to go out there and get one guy I think that you really wanted, I think they really wanted Drake May. I don't know that they really wanted any of these other guys. So it's hard for me to say that they're definitely better. Well, maybe better than Jones was last year. Probably. I don't see how you could be that much worse. But will he be better than Mac was like his rookie year, for example? I don't know about that. I don't know where Drake May is going to be starting. I don't know what his trajectory is going to look like. And you're right, Jones. I don't know how much he's going to play this year. I don't. If he doesn't play, if it's Jacoby Brissett, if Jacoby Brissett starts all year, I don't think this team's any better than last year. That might be worse.
I'm with you on that. If it's Brissett playing, then they suck and they're unwatchable and they're boring and they'll score 14 points a game and it's going to be a waste of everyone's time.
I'm not there. I still think, look, last year's team was so bad. And yeah, you got some of those wins through.
Jacoby Brissett's not the answer.
Bailey Zappe. He's not the answer, but I still think that overall the offense is going to be more functional than it was last year. I know quarterback is like the biggest part of it, but Jacoby Brissett is going to be better than Mac Jones was in 2023.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't
think. It's a very low bar.
Yeah, maybe and maybe not. I mean, he's started before and been miserable. He's been on some terrible teams as a starter in the past. I know the numbers in relief last year were okay, but he's not a good quarterback. So if it's Brissett, they're not better. They're basically the same. Drake May, they have a chance to be better. I think Drake May is going to play. I think he's going to play week one, not just this year. I think they're going to look at it. They're going to measure it up. They keep talking about Jacoby Brissett like he's just a sounding board for Drake May, and he's here to bring along Drake May. They don't really talk about him as a player when I listen to Elliott Wolf, when I listen to Jerod Mayo. And we'll ask Drake May today at 4:30. Does he want to play? Does he want to be out there? And I think he should be out there. I think he will be out there. So again, you can vote. Big question of the day. At Jones and Mego. Is this Patriots roster better than a year ago? Yes or no? Vote there. Dial us up on the phone. 617-779-7937. Now, Arcan, you said something very interesting there, that you don't think they wanted any of these players. And I don't know that I'll quite go that far, but I agree with you on Jalen Polk. And here's what
that was the main one I was referencing.
Here's what Mike Reese wrote about today, about the number 34 pick. And remember, that's not a second guess, okay? I have maintained for weeks and weeks and weeks, take Drake May at 3, assuming he's there. Take him at 3, trade up from 34, get a receiver you want in the 20s. That was my plan for a long time. They checked the first box. They did get a receiver in the second round, but they moved down instead of moved up at 37. Here's what Reese wrote. He said, the Patriots had a trade offer on the table to the Bills late in the first round on Thursday night, according to a source. The Bills traded back multiple times. The Bills were at pick 32 after a trade back with Kansas City, but instead of dealing with their AFC East rival, the Patriots, at 34, they chose Carolina's offer to slide back one slot to pick 33. Receivers Xavier Leggett and Keon Coleman were selected 32 and 33 before the Patriots traded back from 34, so one can deduce the Patriots had either Leggett or Coleman as their target, possibly both. My hunch, writes Mike Reese, is Leggett. Now remember, leading up to the draft, wasn't there a report at one point that Carolina or the Patriots were going to take Leggett, and it had even leaked out, I think, from Leggett himself. He's a wide receiver out of South Carolina, who I didn't want, by the way. It had leaked out that he's like, oh yeah, Carolina promised me I was going to be the pick, and then they trade up and take him. So maybe that was their guy. Maybe it was Keon Coleman, who I much prefer, but the Bills took. I'm with Arcan. I don't think they loved Jalen Polk. I don't. If you loved him, you would have A, taken him at 34, or B, moved up to go get him and not attempted to move up for somebody else and then move back. So I think they were fine with him, but that wasn't their target there. That's not the player they wanted.
And this is what's scary to me about this draft. And this is a purely reactionary take to everything that happened over the weekend. Not about who these guys might be or whatever, just the way they drafted, okay? This is just about the process. And it goes to what Arcan said a little bit here. Is it possible that they have these three major areas of need, which are quarterback, wide receiver, and offensive tackle? And at each level, they got at best maybe the guy that they like third best out of all of them?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the case of receiver and tackle, that's way high, but yes.
Okay, and so I'm saying maybe when they were bookmarking everything out, they're like, okay, we don't know if it's going to be Jaden Daniels or Drake May. Daniels is really our two. Drake May's our three. We're comfortable with all three. And they end up with Drake May. Maybe they were looking, you know, I don't know what the consensus was in the room, but they're looking at wide receiver and they're saying, we like Leggett. Maybe they liked, I mean, they clearly didn't like Mitchell, but maybe there was somebody who went lower in the first round that they thought was going to be in the second round. And they look at it and they go, okay, like we are feeling like these are our two guys. And now we go to Polk, who's the third guy. And then with tackle, it's like, as you said, there's eight tackles who go in the first round. So who knows where they were at by the time they get to the third round there. It just, it's all to say, this is why it's so awful to have to be drafting from an area of need. Because you end up going, well, we need a quarterback. We need a wide receiver. We need a left tackle. So we're not drafting just for the highest talent. We're drafting for whatever's available in that round that fits for us.
Well, then they should have done something in free agency, A. And B, I don't have a problem with them drafting for need. I just don't think they were aggressive enough. They were too gun-shy. And so they sat there and twiddled their thumbs, and they tried to move up like a spot or two. You could have gone further up. You could have leapfrogged even more than Buffalo. You'd have to wait until pick 32
and they
to
said
go get
before
Leggett.
The draft, Jerod Mayo, so we're going to try and get back in that first round. He's telegraphed.
Yeah.
And then they couldn't do it.
Other than that trade, they...
When has that happened before?
Other than that trade, they stood pat. And so to me, like, okay, draft for need, but be aggressive about it. They weren't aggressive about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. And I think that when you look at where they are, I mean, it was the 10th wide receiver to go in the draft. And he may be good. I mean, listen, we've seen this happen with wide receivers in the past, guys getting drafted in the second round, guys getting passed over, fine. But he wasn't even the number one guy on his own team last year. I mean, he was the number two guy at Washington.
That's the biggest red flag to me. It's like, okay, so you like his game, and one of the wide receivers coach with you, Hughes, was his coach out there at Washington. And so I don't doubt that he knows him very well, and it's not this simple, but hey, that's the guy who was playing opposite Rome Odunze, and now he's going to be on your team, and he's supposed to be the most talented guy on your team immediately. Like, he's got nobody to take any coverage off of him out there.
Yeah, and so look, I'm with you, Arkin. He might play. He might be a good player, and I think they're fine with him, but he wasn't the guy they identified. He wasn't the guy they were, you know, all horned up to go trade up and go get, and so they just wound up with him. And so maybe he can play. I'm not telling you he can't. He's not my favorite prospect. I liked other guys who were on the board. You loved A.D. Mitchell.
I like Mitchell better than
him. I would have preferred Ladd McConkey. If they were going to move up, I really like Keon Coleman. So, like, look, that's just a game of musical chairs at wide receiver. We'll see who can play and who can't in a couple of years. But they wanted to move up for someone. They didn't, and instead they moved back. So we'll get to all your thoughts on this. Meanwhile, Reese also wrote about Jalen Polk. He said an AFC personnel source opined that Polk's grade among teams likely varied, with more volatility than other receivers based on how teams viewed the stiffness in his route running and lack of consistent separation. Oh, boy. It sounds like he'll fit in right in their receiver room. But his toughness, competitiveness, and ball skills are excellent, the source said. Additionally, the Pats have what they felt was unique insight as receivers coach Tyler Hughes, who Mega was just talking about, spent last year on Washington's staff. Here is Elliot Wolf, the de facto GM. This was probably his pick. I'm not so sure about pick number three. But here's Elliot Wolf with the scouting report on Polk.
Let's go right to Polk. Give us the rundown on the receiver, if you would.
Yeah, he's a guy that we had our eye on for a while. Really good fit in our offense. He's really tough. He's strong. He can run all the routes, play inside, outside. He's a good blocker. Really competitive, both for the ball in the air and as a run after catch player. Really just kind of a versatile, do everything type guy. Who, you know, he ran a little bit faster than a lot of people expected.
Did he?
But when you turn the tape on, you see him running by people. So definitely excited to add him to the mix.
Okay. Phil Perry made a point about the receivers as well at NBC Sports Boston that they match well with the skill set of Drake May. He's a deep ball thrower. I question the separation. I question the speed of Jalen Polk. But I think he'll catch it once the ball gets there. Phil wrote, second-round wide-up Jalen Polk finished the year with a 99.9 deep receiving grade from Pro Football Focus. I don't know what that is, but it sounds good.
Doesn't sound bad.
Yeah, Washington's downfield passing offense. Nope, it's close, though. He picked up 39.6 yards after the catch on 22 targets of 20 yards or more downfield. He was eighth in the class in yards per route run on those deep shots. He did not drop a deep pass all season, and he snagged 5 of his 8 contested catches down the field. Similar numbers on Javon Baker, who we'll get to coming up.
Oh, boy.
Quite the comment.
Quite the personality.
When he jumped on with the New England media. But so these guys are maybe meshing well with the skill set of Drake May, which I'll buy. I like that the Patriots attack the offense. I said in free agency, I didn't need them to sign one player on defense. And I felt the same way going into the draft. They almost did it.
Well, especially after free agency.
They took one defensive player, which is one too many. But otherwise, they did it. And I'm okay with addressing needs. I just wish they were a little more aggressive and got a guy who they felt great about instead of just okay about.
That's sort of how I feel, too. And it's like you knew that these rookies were going to have big jobs. They were going to have big roles on the team, especially the wide receivers. I mean, I think that was going to be obvious no matter who it was that they picked up. And I just don't know how many real impact guys you have, like year one impact guys who are going to play right away and be good. They may be good eventually. They may develop into good players. But with a rookie quarterback and a rookie left tackle, and two rookie wide receivers, it just seems like there's going to be so much learning curve going on here that it's hard for me to expect it to look great right away.
Technically, two rookie quarterbacks.
True.
Oh, we'll get to Joe Milton.
Oh, yeah.
Which
got a couple of projects.
I like that pick, by the way. I love the Drake May pick, but I'm okay with taking a second quarterback. I'm totally fine with that, and we'll get to that later on this hour. But I do wonder, it's another guy who doesn't separate, and he's a contested catch guy?
Sounds like Parker.
It does, yeah. Right? And so I hope this guy has more juice than that, and I hope this guy gets open and the scouting reports are off. Wolf said he runs better than people thought. I think he ran 4.51. That's not fast. And
okay,
so,
but people are comparing him to Devontae Adams that way.
Who?
What?
That
who?
Adams wasn't fast.
That he wasn't fast.
I know, but who's comparing him to Devontae Adams?
Oh, I saw it on Twitter.
Who?
If it's on Twitter, it's real, Joe.
Okay, but like who? Patriots fans are like, wow, they just got Devontae Adams. Who? Okay,
I'm sorry, I don't have it right in front of me.
Okay, well, I didn't see it. I'm asking you where you saw it. I don't know.
You sound like an owl right now.
I thought maybe you could source it. I don't know. Here's Jerod Mayo on the NFL Network during day 3 of the draft on how much input ownership had on the Drake May pick. This was interesting.
You know, it's the first year, obviously, post-Belichick, and there were all these stories coming out about who's making the decisions in New England and who's drafting this pick. What's been the collaborative process in the first post-Belichick year, this draft process itself?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. It's been very collaborative, and I will say this: ownership has given us the freedom to really use our expertise, and that's being football coaches, that's being football scouts, and I think the entire organization down here has done a good job really coming together and making a decision all together instead of just one man having to make the final call, and it's been a great process.
So no one named Kraft put a thumb on the scale and told you about a quarterback, third overall? That didn't happen?
Not at all. Not at all. Now look, they're businessmen. They love the game of football. But at the same time, look, they have a lot of things going on. And Elliot and I, as well as Matt Groh and those guys, look, we just said, hey, we're going to focus on this team and try to put a good team out there this year.
Okay, very sensitive. Very sensitive to the criticism. They made the pick at 3. I don't think they drafted Jalen Polk. I think they had a big say in who went at number 3. But the Patriots can continue to deny that.
I liked his little chuckle before he answered.
Yeah.
They were like, did Kraft put a thumb on the scale? He's like, ha, nah.
That's interesting. We've heard that terminology before, so that's interesting. But there you go. 617-779-7937. We're scheduled to be joined by Drake May at 4:30. Mark that down. We get into your phone calls all day long here on Jones and Mego with Arcan. Let's get to him right now. Bunch of you waiting patiently. Jerry's in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. So I'm with Arcan on this. I actually don't know what they're thinking. I mean, if they knew they were going to draft a quarterback and they passed on all those wide receivers that were open in free agency and via a trade, and then they just sit back and they trade for me, and like Arcan says, the left tackle, there's a problem. I mean, the defense is probably not going to be any worse, but, I mean, they've got to be a little bit better. And also, like Arcan said, you're putting all your rookies in a basket and hoping they play halfway decent. So I'm just scratching my head thinking about the thought process of, you know, going into this draft and not picking up anybody in free agency.
Okay, that second part is completely fair, but the first part about playing rookies, I'm fine with playing rookies.
Also,
their team last year sucked.
They didn't know Keenan Allen was going to be available, so.
Right. They didn't even bother calling. And so,
yeah, Jalen Polk, I love you and everything, but I wanted that pick to get traded for somebody else
okay,
and then
but they,
signed
we
and extended.
We talked to Curran a couple of days ago, and I don't know if he was exactly saying, like, you use this year's draft capital or if it was you can entice a team like the Niners or Cincinnati with future picks. They could still have something shake-free in the trade market.
I know, but don't you feel like
it's
that's...
It's very much wish-casting. It feels like it's we're kind of past it, but... You never know.
No,
you guys shake free.
The
Fine.
Ship has sailed.
It's not
point.
A plan.
No, and just I don't think they were going to get a receiver on draft night or in 2 weeks. I've never thought they're really in this trade for a receiver market. I've never believed that. But, yeah, if they do, I'll applaud them. But that felt like the window to get it done. Draft night. Felt like where guys were going to move. No one really moved. And so that would have been the time to do it. No, that would have been my preference, too. Like, draft a kid like Javon Baker and then trade 34 for Brandon Ayuk. I would have loved that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay with playing rookies. I have no problem with playing rookies. And this left tackle business is now convenient because wasn't Trent Brown terrible last year?
Yes.
So, like, what are we really talking about? Their offensive line was terrible. I'm not afraid to play rookies. How much worse can it be?
Trent Brown wasn't rated out as terrible last year.
Was he good or bad? I mean, Trent Brown now?
Well, he might be better than this rookie. Okay, rookie third round pick. Yeah, he might be better than him.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't miss Trent Brown one bit.
I didn't think that.
I don't either, but I wanted them to be more aggressive in the draft with the tackle. I didn't want them to wait until the third round.
I was okay with waiting until the third round.
I know you were. I'm saying that I feel like I've been pretty consistent
okay,
with that.
So you guys want Trent Brown back now? I'm so
no,
confused.
I don't.
You guys
I wanted them to upgrade from Trent Brown Jones. I don't think they did that.
I wanted them to go earlier in the tackle market in the draft.
Okay. But Trent Brown stunk?
I mean, I don't know if he stunk worse than this rookie's going to stink.
I think he stunk, too. And I'm not just talking about...
PFF said he was rated out okay.
Okay, well, PFF isn't the Bible.
Well, we
PFF
just found out the 99 thing that you said about...
That was Phil Perry.
Right after he said, I don't know what that really means.
That was Phil Perry.
I don't know what PFF's rating mean either. All I'm saying is that he's not universally considered to be a terrible left tackle last year. That's all. It's hard. It's hard to grade that sort of thing.
Okay.
I don't think
when
the
you were watching
offensive line generally was good.
Did you think he performed well?
Not always. Not
okay,
always.
Thank you.
But
that's
I don't know the rookie's going to win. It's a third round pick.
Okay, but
we
I'm
don't
just.
Know.
But Arcan, it's not.
I don't even know if he's going to beat out Connor McDermott. I'd rather have Trent Brown than Connor McDermott.
It's not that hard to beat out Trent Brown and how they played last year, is the point. I don't think. Coach is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Coach.
Yes. Four quick points. One, Mego must have got 100 in every exam at GW.
Thank
Number
you.
Two, listening to, listen to Keon
right.
Coleman. I'm sorry, listening to Keon Coleman, he sounded a lot like Antonio Brown, but then again, so did Javon Walker. Number three, it was so refreshing to see them say, we need help on offense, and they drafted 7 out of 8 offensive players. Bill never would do that. And lastly, to Jones's point, it's a brand-new offensive system. It's a brand-new offensive coordinator, coaches on the offensive side of the ball. Having said that, I think everyone's on an even playing field, and if Drake May outperforms everybody, I guess what I'm trying to say is they're all learning this new system together. Let's go with Drake May. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Coach.
Sure,
and by the way,
thanks for listening.
By the way, if you have four points, I was like, there's no way you're going to get through 4 points. 50 seconds.
That was excellent.
That was a great call.
That was the last point. Coach,
I thought the first point was the best.
Let's tidy up the last point a little bit, Coach, but 4 points in 50 seconds, pretty good. And so you got all hundreds at exams at GW?
Yes, I did.
It's very impressive.
You can look that up online, I believe.
It
says that about me.
That is quite
many
impressive.
People are saying that our first two callers were both Mego and I's relatives. they were very complimentary
the first
of
guy
both
was,
of us.
That's true. The first guy was very complimentary of ours. It was like he agreed with Arcan like four different times.
He was like writing a dissertation on Arcan.
Arcan, it's so good to hear from you.
It is.
No, let me be clear. My relatives do not listen to EEI.
So you can vote at Jones and Mego.
100% agree with Blago there.
Is the Patriots roster better than a year ago? Arcan says no. Me and Mego say yes. Although if it's Jacoby Brissett, I'm not totally sold on that. I do think it'll be Drake May out there. And yes, they'll be better than last year. It's not that hard to be better than last year. You can vote there. You can weigh in. 617-779-7937. He brought up the coaching staff. Let's get into how much we believe in the Patriots coaching staff, how much we trust the coaching staff to bring along these players. Plus, Drake May scheduled to join us at 4:30. Stay tuned for all of that. Arcan with the latest in trending, and we're right back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.